Track 6. This is Brian Gall back at the sports desk after my week's holiday to bring you the latest sporting gossip. I usually start with the local soccer and rugby news, but I'm making an exception this week, and that's not just because I'm a Hagley resident, and I'm starting with the Hagley cricket team. It's only March, but keen cricketers play indoors through the winter, and Hagley have done so these past few months with startling success. They have won the National Indoor Championships, having won through a semi-final and then a final at Lord's this past weekend. The rules of indoor cricket are somewhat different. There are only six players a side for a start. When a batsman reaches a total of 25 runs not out, he has to retire, but he can come back to bat if his team's other batsmen are all out. Then a match consists of only 12 overs a side. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same game, but indoors. Hagley's triumphant weekend started on Saturday when they met the Yorkshire side Woodlands. They were all out for 88 runs after their innings ended on 12 overs, and Hagley had little difficulty overcoming that for the loss of only one wicket. Then, come Sunday, it was the national final versus Broadstairs from Kent. They proved more formidable than the beaten semi-finalists and amassed a total of 114 for 5 from their 12 overs. Hagley lost a wicket right at the start of their reply, but they scored steadily throughout the innings, although wickets also tumbled. They were still in need of 27 runs to win, and these came off just 9 balls as Hagley secured the national trophy in their final over. An excellent result for our local boys, overall winners out of around 1,200 teams from across the entire country. I expect Starbridge Rugby will be glad of an Easter weekend off after two bruising encounters over the last couple of weekends. 10 days ago, they suffered a home defeat at the hands of Sheffield Tigers, who'd also been victorious when the sides met in Sheffield earlier this season. This proved a close match played in testing conditions with snow falling regularly and with the lead changing hands a few times. But the visitors gained their victory with a very late penalty kick, which gave them the closest of victories by 28 points to 26. Then, this last weekend, the club had a second successive home fixture. This time, the visitors were South Leicester. These two teams had fought out a draw when they met at Leicester earlier. This return fixture proved an entertaining one for the spectators as the home side fought back from adversity, at one time with only 13 players on the pitch after the referee had brandished his yellow card, and they exchanged the lead with their opponents more than once before finally pulling away to win by 37 points to 26. A welcome victory which stopped the rot after three successive defeats, and as I was saying, they can now take a week off before a tricky-looking visit to Hinckley on Saturday week. Starbridge lie fourth in the league table, just 7 points behind the leaders, Sale, but that's deceptive, as while all the other leading sides have matches in hand, Starbridge have only 4 fixtures left until the season ends. Starbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, also returned to winning ways on Saturday, achieving an excellent 4-1 victory away from home against Farsley Celtic. Despite going a goal down from the penalty spot in the first 5 minutes, Starbridge were undeterred and were back on level terms within a few minutes, but the remainder of the first half was fairly even. Glass Boys were the more decisive after the interval when they scored 3 unanswered goals for a thoroughly deserved victory. Makes you wonder why they have frequently struggled through the second half of the season. This was their first win since mid-February, since which time they've drawn 1 and lost 4. However, this victory at Farsley may have reawakened the team, who went on to win again on Monday evening back at the Memorial Ground here when they beat Sutton Coldfield 2-1. That result may help near neighbours Halesowen Town just a little. Sutton Coldfield are bottom of the Northern Premier League, but only 3 points and 1 place behind Halesowen, who also lost on Saturday and face the real prospect of relegation at the end of the season. At the top level of soccer, there's been a pause in league action during a bout of friendly internationals as England and the other qualifiers gear up for this summer's World Cup in Russia. But I was reading in the press yesterday that Mark Jenkins, the former chief executive at West Bromwich, who was ousted in 2016 but has now returned to his former post, that things at the Hawthorns are every bit as bad off the field as they are on it. Apparently, he says, the former management had run out of money and the clubs had to arrange an overdraft to pay the wages of their players. Mr. Jenkins says he's disgusted at the way the Baggies have been run since he left last time. But whatever happens this season, and relegation looks a near-racing certainty, he is determined to return the club to its former glory. Our three local championship sides were also inactive last weekend, but Wolves still sit 6 points clear at the top after results the week before, while that same day Villa's promotion ambition took a knock when they lost 3-1 at home to Queen's Park Rangers. Birmingham City achieved a rare and welcome victory that day, beating Hull 3-0, but they are still deep in the relegation zone. Right, I'm going to come back to cricket, but the outdoor game this time. I'm sure even people who've not the slightest interest in cricket will be aware of the ball-tampering shenanigans which have blighted the third test match in the series between South Africa and Australia. But I bet I know another set of players who will be quite glad that that scandal erupted when it did. Step forward, the England Test Cricket 11. They must have been delighted that their abject failure in the opening test match of their tour in New Zealand has been almost completely overlooked, thanks to the goings-on in South Africa. England totaled a magnificent 58 runs in their first innings of this match. Yes, 58. That's not an individual batsman's score, that's the team's total. Five of the batsmen made ducks, and only Overton, in the team as a bowler, made anything at all, scoring 33 not out, more than half the team's total. New Zealand's reply to this in their first innings was a mere 427 for 8 declared, with a couple of individual hundreds, just to show that there was absolutely nothing wrong with the wicket. Even so, England may have escaped with a draw, as it looked for a time that the weather gods had come to their rescue. The second and third days of the match in Auckland had been severely disrupted by rain, but justice was done when the last day remained dry, and although England had improved their batting by then, impossible not to, they were all out for 320, with Ben Stokes the top scorer with 66 runs. 1-0 to New Zealand in the series, but the good news is that England cannot be beaten by more than 2-0 overall, as the series consists of only two test matches. On a more cheerful note, the first of the 2018 Formula One motor races, the Australian Grand Prix at the Melbourne circuit, was held last Sunday and was a triumph for the Ferrari team, whose lead driver, Sebastian Vettel, crossed the line ahead of Mercedes' Lewis Hamilton. Ferrari achieved a minor miracle here, taking advantage of some technical rules governing the speed cars are allowed to travel at when a safety car is on the circuit, which are even more abstruse when it's a technical safety car. I don't fully understand it myself, but anyway, there was Hamilton progressing through his tyre stop at modest pace while the German team took full advantage. Hamilton had started the race from the front of the grid, with the Ferrari driver well behind him, and the Mercedes was never overtaken during actual racing. Somewhat controversial, but perfectly within the rules. It's a blow for the British driver, but one from which I'm sure he'll be determined to recover when the cars line up again in Bahrain the week after Easter. Motor racing I can understand, well, usually, is that on the speedway track, and we shall very soon be back in action with that. The Wolverhampton Wolves should actually have had a meeting this Monday, but that was postponed. But they will be racing on the Monmore Green circuit next week. I won't be able to bring you news of that straight away, as we here at the Talking News are going to enjoy our Easter holiday next week. But my colleagues and I will be here the week after to bring you all the latest news and comment. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian at the Sports Desk.